We've had, thanks for reading, that Tony, for reading that passage. It's sort of, you scratch your head and wonder, what on earth can you speak about in a passage like that? But I've got a few things which we will put out to you. And just first of all, I just want to draw our attentions to 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 36. You don't need to turn there. I will just read this verse to you. And it says, I will give one tribe to his son, so that David, my servant, may always have a lamp before me in Jerusalem, the city where I choose to put my name. This city of Jerusalem that we look at now, and even today, it is stated that it is a holy city. It's a city of great conflict. Even today you have the Muslims and there's conflict over there, and every day you will, you know, if you look at Jerusalem Post probably, you'll see there is one issue or another in Jerusalem. It's a very contentious city. And it has always been. It's been the center of pilgrimage to offer sacrifices to the Lord. And it's, you know, and we've seen different things happen in that city over the event. It became marketplaces and a place of extortion, and kings have ruled from Jerusalem, and but it's been quite the city. So it is the city where we look at, and we know that it is the holy city. It's a city of great contention. The first thing I want to just point out in chapter 11 is, now in verse 1, funny enough, it is, now the leaders of the people lived in Jerusalem. The leaders here lived by example. Here was Jerusalem. It was in ruins. The walls had been rebuilt. But the leaders led by example and moved into Jerusalem. The leaders, what leaders are to do, and we have leaders in business, we have leaders in the church, we have leaders in the country. But the leaders are placed there with the job of rallying people toward a better future. The best way to do that is to have a passion for the Lord and love the Lord your God and fear Him and seek to glorify Him and His name. In our church, we have appointed leaders being elders. And even though we've got three elders, each elder, well, there's not three elders yet, but let's put it that way. At the moment we've got two elders, and we're having a vote just now for at the SGM for a third elder. And each elder is equal, but each one has a role in which they specialize. We have our dear brother Jacques, who seeks to be more in the pastoral role of caring for us as a flock. And we bring into the vote at our SGM with our brother Glenn, as we've been really blessed by the teaching of the word and the preaching of the word. And it's been such a blessing to have sound preaching and have sound doctrine taught to us. And so these are things, they are different giftings. And it will come out later. We find that there's the word elder and pastor, and we've mentioned this time and time again, that it's the same thing. But the word pastor is more of a verb. And Mike spoke about this in last July, at the time when Lance was leaving. And the verb was the pastor, means, you know, caring for and looking after. We have also in Scripture the description, and it's clearly given to us of what the description of what an elder should be. His character is very important, and it's all clear to us about how we are to nominate and appoint elders. As elders, it's our desire to rally you as the church toward a deeper love for the Lord. That you will love Him. And we want to do that by leading by example. And we want to proclaim that the joy of the Lord is our strength. We hold on to these things in difficult times, and things are getting tough for many of us. Things are getting tough for the economy. Some of us cannot find work. Some of us are living hand to mouth. It's difficult for us. But we kind of hold and we proclaim that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And in application with our church, we seek to have men lead us who are willing to live with us, available to us, and willing to serve us as a church. And this is what we as the elders seek to do. We want to live in Jerusalem. And we don't want to live in Jerusalem physically. We want to live here amongst you. And we seek to serve you and guide you and pray with you. The next point I want to raise is that Lot is cast. Now, nobody wanted to live in Jerusalem when it's ruins. Like, who would want to go to Ukraine and live in the war-ravaged cities? Not many of you would put up your hands and say, yeah, I want to go to Ukraine. No. In the same way, you looked at Jerusalem. Who would want to move to Jerusalem? The city is in ruins. You can't have a city. I don't know, some of you may have seen this in China. There's these YouTube videos of China built these cities, but they've got nobody living in them. And it's like quite eerie, you know, to have the city and nobody in it. And so we have Jerusalem there. The city's in ruins and there's very few people living in it. And people are needed. What is a city if no one wants to live in it? But we have to ask, why was Jerusalem so unattractive? Now, why would nobody want to live in Jerusalem? This is the holy city. Well, we don't really often have the answer to that. But maybe there was just the fact of the opposition. There was opposition to the city of Jerusalem. If you look at the history of Jerusalem, it's been attacked many, many times. And the fact is, if I move to Jerusalem, and who wants to take your family to a city where it could be attacked? Then we also have those who are close to Jerusalem and are not happy with what was going on. The likes of Sanballat and Tobiah, and they use their intimidation tactics and their spies and everything else to send all sorts of messages through the grapevine and say, you know, don't move in. Maybe that was something that was taken into account. Maybe, maybe they're right. Maybe we shouldn't move to Jerusalem. Maybe just the fact that Jerusalem was the holy city, the city of God, the central point of worship. Maybe it meant giving up something that was on the sideline that they idolized. And they thought, well, I can't really move to Jerusalem because I have this special idol. It's something that I love more than God. Maybe that was taken into consideration and they didn't want that. Or maybe it was just the fact that they felt guilty of their sins. And they felt guilty and unworthy to live in the holy city. Maybe some of them were also just scared of hard work. You know, it's hard work building. I'm in the construction industry and I see people are going up and down the stairs carrying big boxes of tiles, carrying pockets of cement up and down the stairs. Construction is hard work. Some of you may know that. It is a big job. But how to get people to come into the city? And so a lot was cast. Now I was going to bring some sticks along and ask one of the children to cast a lot, and we see which one pulls out the shorter stick. But a lot was cast to see there's different ways of doing casts, but I only mentioned the one where you've got sticks, so they all look the same, but there's one stick that's shorter than the other, and everybody pulls out a stick, and the one that's pulled the shorter stick is the one that has cast the lot. So the lot was cast of those who would move into the city. But there's no sign here in the scriptures of a reluctance. It was seen that it was done. It was understood. The lot was cast because of this. The Bible tells us that the people blessed all the men who willingly offered to live in Jerusalem. The cast of a lot is a strange method of determining a decision. At the moment, I must admit, I don't believe it's the way we should do it today. We've got God's word that can guide us, and we've got good common sense. But the lot was cast, and we see in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32, that tells us that the lot is cast into the lap, but every decision is from the Lord. So there the lot was cast, and you may thought that it was random. God had predestined and ordained who was going to be moving into the city. And so that's part of the good news of the sovereignty of God. God is in control. God knows more than we could ever imagine. And God has a plan for our lives. And we need not fear tomorrow, because God goes with us. The lot is cast into the lap, but every decision is from the Lord. That is good news for me. That should be good news for you. That being said, there was a determined acceptance of the outcome. We accepted. If you were living in Jerusalem, not you were the lot was cast, and you were one of the ten, or one per ten, you would have said, you would have accepted the outcome of that. Now, those who may have Disney Plus may know that there's a program on there called a Star Wars show called The Mandalorian. And the Mandalorians have got a saying all the time, and they say, "This is the way." And when something happens and all the Mandalorians agree, they all say, "This is the way. This is the way. This is the way." As Christians, we know a bit better than that. And the Lord's people say, "This is the will of God." We can trust God's will. This is the Lord's will. Lord willing, I will see you next week. The lot is cast into the lap, but every decision is from the Lord. We have the will of God. We know that God is in control of our lives every day, every breath we take. It's all a gift from God. And we need to follow Him to make sure that we are in His will. And we trust Him. And today, we have the SGM, and we bring a proposal has been raised, and we've had a call committee do some work. And whatever the vote is, the Lord's will is done. And this is His church. We know that the Lord's will be done in the church. It doesn't mean that we sit back and do nothing. There's work for all of us today to do. And that leads me on to my next point. We need to get involved. Now, to get involved in the life of the church does take courage. It took courage for these folk to move into a city of rubble. And we have different, and this is told to us in various verses. The descendants of Judah, which tells us there were 128. Now, some different versions have valiant men, some versions men of courage, but there were men, There were in verse 6 of the chapter of the chapter 11 and verse 14, it tells us that the descendants of Judah were, there were 468 valiant men, and then the other late, and later on in verse 14 it says 128 men of valor. Now, valor and valiant are not words that we use every day. I don't say, you know, you have been valiant today. you are valor. You are, you know. Another word for it is brave. You have been brave. And brave and courage, they can be working together. And that's why I tell the children, and it's a good reminder, because it's also from a Disney movie. Oh dear. I mean, you think, might think I'm watching too much Disney. But in the Cinderella movie, they often, the lady says, or I don't know, whoever, be kind and have courage. Who said that, Alyssa? Cinderella. Be kind and have courage. So we have courage and we need to be kind. And there is a task at hand. There's the rebuilding of the city that needs to take place. And the threat is real. There is a real threat for this place, Jerusalem, moving into the city. There was this constant sense of discontentment from other people seeing what was happening. Because remember that when you read Nehemiah, they built the wall in 52 days. And that came as a surprise to the enemies. Because they looked at this and said, 52 days? Yo. Okay, and it scared them a bit. And so moving into the city, which has been under attack before, and seeing what was happening, you need to have courage to live there. And so there's a real threat. And even our church and any church that teaches the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ has threats which come in any some form or another. That's why we seek to, we encourage prayer. We ask you to pray for our church and pray for each other that we will grow to be more like the Lord and that we will be able to resist the flaming arrows of the evil one, which do come in some way or another. And they will come if they don't come now. And you know in your own life, the flaming darts of the evil one come to you. It's told us, and that's why we need to put on the full armor of God. To wear God's armor and be ready for battle. Because the fight and the onslaught can come. And what better way to head into onslaught than to be with God's people. And to know that you have brothers and sisters in arms who are there willing to fight with you and fight for you on their knees in prayer. So we hold on to that. We cannot sit back and just let things happen. And we see, and this long list of names, which we're not going to go through every single name because I think you would probably just say, oh, no, John, just leave it. But we see that there were different people and different people had different positions to help in the city. In verse 9, well, if we can go on, there was Joel, the son of Zichri. Was their overseer. So there was a leader. And Judah, the son of Hasso, was second over the city. There were some leaders. Some people were positioned to be leaders. In verse 11, it tells us that the ruler of the house and his brothers did the work. Sahiah, son of Helikiah, son of Meshulam, son of Zadok, son of Matthiah, son of Atitub, the ruler of the house of God, and their brothers did the work of that house. 822. There were people who were doing the work in God's house. In verse 16, it gives us details of those who worked outside the house of the Lord. So we had people working in the house of the Lord. That's why there's people working on the outside of the house of the Lord. And this is all for the glory of God. There is an order that's been set in place here. And we've all got work to do. In verse 17, it tells us about the son of Asaph, who was the leader of the praise and who gave thanks. So he has somebody else who's leading worship and giving thanks and praise to the Lord. Everybody's important. Nobody's more important than anybody else. Then we have in verse 19, there were 117, there was gatekeepers and Akob and Talmon and their brothers who kept watch over the gates. There were 172 of them. As we can see on the city, on the map, there were quite a few entrances. So they would have different gates that they'd need to watch over. But even still, in our church, we need gatekeepers. Not to go stand at the gate here, but we need to watch the Word of God and examine the Word of God. And what is being taught? Is it truth? Is it according to God's Word? Or is there error? And we need gatekeepers, people to keep watch and look after what, and see what is happening within the church and check that. And that's why we're all part of this. We're all part of the church and we're all part of looking after each other. And then we have the chief officer was Uzzi. In verse 22, not Uzzi, okay, Uzzi, yeah, the son of Bani, the son, he was the oversight of the Levites in Jerusalem was Uzzi, okay? There was an oversight of the Levites. The Levites had an important function at the temple. And then verse 24 tells us that there was an agent, Pethathiah, the son of Meshelbal, the sons of Zerah, the son of Judah, was at the king's side in all matters concerning the people. So there was a diplomat. And he was the king's agent and the go-between. And not everybody's name is mentioned over here. As we said, there was 100 in this, 100 in people that, or 200 that, 172, 128, a whole lot of different people. Their names aren't mentioned. But they're all very important. They're all there to serve the Lord in Jerusalem, the holy city. And tasks were given to these people. And we tasks are there for us too within our church body. We all have something to offer and something to give. We, as your local church, we need you. We need you to have courage and zeal and do work for the Lord. And a lot of us are doing work for the Lord and we rejoice for what you are doing. And willingly offer your time and services to us. And we thank you for that. And it's important to be part of a local church. It's important to be in community with each other. As I've said just now, what better place to be when the trials come that we have people on their knees praying for us and praying for each of us as these trials come along. And we need to have courage, be men and women of valor, be valiant and serve. In Ephesians chapter 4, from verse 12, I'm just going to read some of these verses. To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we attain the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to measure the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness, in deceitful schemes, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. For from the whole body, joined and held together by every joint, with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes up the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. We are seeking to build each other up in love. The body grows when we build each other up in love. And I do encourage you to look, you know, those who may not have anything and ideas of how we can get involved in the church, look and see what can you do. May even be a warrior or be a man or woman on your knees begging for the Lord to work in our church. And so lives can be changed and that we can spread the good news into Edenvale about the Lord Jesus Christ. So I do encourage you to do this. Jerusalem is often, is in some places in Scripture, a type of church put side by side, just like Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the church, and there's a holy Jerusalem. And just in closing, in Revelation chapter 1, it tells us about the new heaven and the new earth. And there will be a new Jerusalem. And those who believe in the Lord Jesus will be part of this new Jerusalem. And it's quite exciting. I'll just read a few verses from it. It had a great wall and a high wall with 12 gates. So let me just check if this was the right place where I was supposed to read. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven, having the glory of God, its radiance like a most rare jewel, like jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great wall with 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and on the gates the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel were inscribed, and on the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, and on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates, and the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lord. And the one who spoke with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city, its gates and the walls. And it just goes on. But what an eventful place it will be. The New Jerusalem. You know, when we, this life is not the end of our life. There is a future hope. And we need to repent of our sins and trust the Lord for our salvation and trust in Him to forgive us of our sin and put our hope and trust in Him. And I trust that you'll be blessed and that you'll be encouraged, that we've all got a part to play. And I've mentioned this before as well, we are not islands on our own. We are under the Lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are here to help each other, serve each other, and we seek to have God, and we want to see you grow and love the Lord more and more each day. Let us pray. Lord, you are faithful. You are just. You are perfect in all your ways. And we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you have a way to do things. Though the lot is cast into the lap, every decision is from you. What a joy it is to know that you are sovereign. You are in control. And together, as a body of Christ, we can face tomorrow because you live. Blessed be your name. Amen.